الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our studies related to the أحكام of الصيام, أحكام الصيام, the rulings and the regulations, the rulings and the regulations with regards to the great act of worship, which is a pillar from the pillars of al-Islam, as-siyam. And we have seen in our previous class that fasting is obligatory. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, a fardah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, O you who believe, Ya ayyuhu ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, meaning it has been made obligatory. Kutiba, the ulama they mentioned this means fardha. A faradahu Allahu ta'ala ala ibadihi. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He made it obligatory upon His servants to fast. But in our previous class, we were discussing the issue of who is it obligatory upon them to fast. What is the description of the one that's obligatory for him to fast? Because the ulama, they mentioned that there are six awsaf, or attributes, or maybe they would say conditions, before or for that one must fulfill or find in himself these conditions or these descriptions before fasting will be obligatory upon him. In general, these six awsaf, التي بها يجب الصيام على المرء, these descriptions and attributes that the one who has them, then fasting will be obligatory upon him. The first one is al-Islam, and we've seen some details with regards to this. The second one is al-Bulugh, which is to reach the age of puberty. And we are still on this point here, discussing this issue. We completed this issue here. And we've seen the reality of Bulugh, and that it has signs that indicate that an individual has reached the age of puberty, adulthood. Likewise, the third description or condition is al-aql, and the fourth one is al-qudrah. Al-aql, yani intelligence. He has to have a sane mind. The fourth one, he must have ability. We'll take them all in detail, inshaAllah, but in mentioning them one by one generally here. And the fifth one, al-iqama, meaning he must be a resident. And the sixth one, al-khulu min al-mawani', that he does not have anything that will prohibit him or her from fasting. So then again, to mention them briefly, the ulama, they mentioned that fasting will be obligatory on a person if he is a Muslim and he is of the right age and he has a sane mind. Now, and he has the ability to fast physically. He has the ability to fast. And he is a resident in his home land, or in the land that he is a resident, in the land that he is residing in, and that there is nothing that would prohibit him from fasting, or prohibit any of the fast from being valid. Things that would prohibit the fast from being valid. For example, a woman on her menses. Maybe she fits all of these conditions, but there is a menses issue, or postnatal blood issue that would prohibit the obligation of fasting. So we continue from where we were discussing yesterday. We've seen the reality about Islam, and that the deeds are not accepted from a non-Muslim. Naam, and we've seen the evidences with regards to this. And likewise, we've seen that no act of worship is obligatory upon a person until they reach the age of puberty. And we've seen the signs of puberty. We've seen four of them. Three of them are for a male and a female, and one is specific for a female. Who can just remind us of them without evidence, just these four signs? Shahr al-Khashin. Naam. Ihtilam. Naam. Or I'm reaching the age of 15, They mentioned the coarse hair around the private parts, or to have the wet dream, or to reach the age of 15. If one of these occurs, or if the first two occur before 15, then that person reached the age of puberty. What's the benefit of knowing this? At this time, an individual, he becomes considered in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, mukallaf. This is an important word for those who, or the brothers who are learning the Arabic language, mukallaf, mukallafun, meaning that he's held accountable, meaning that he's responsible for his speech and he's responsible for his actions, meaning the angels are taking his deeds in record, and that he will be held accountable from this time for what he says and what he does. Naam, or her likewise. Naam, at takleef. This is along in reaching the age of puberty, along if he has the intellect. Likewise, we will see. Tayyib, this is important. Tayyib, the fourth one, al-hayd, for the menses. So if one of these occurs before the age of 15, then this means that he reached the, or she reached the age of takleef, and meaning by bulugh, balagha, al-bulugh, they reach the age of puberty at this time, likewise reaching the age of accountability. Reaching the age of accountability. If none of these signs are found by the time one reaches 15, then khalas, this is the last of the limit. But we shouldn't say that, oh, he's not 15 yet, or she's not 15 yet. If these other signs are there, even at the age of 9, then at this time they have reached the age of puberty. If the signs are there at the age of 9 or below or above, any time, and people are different, individuals are different. Some of them reach puberty earlier than others, and this is the case. So we've seen that this is the issue. So this is the second condition for the obligation of fasting. Naam, the obligation of fasting. Naam, and then we continue today. Al-aql. This is the third condition. So with the aql and with the bulugh, this is whenever the takleef comes. Because if he's baligh, but he doesn't have a sane mind, he's likewise not held accountable. But whenever one reaches the age of puberty and he has a sane mind, at this time he's held accountable. And he's mukallaf. Tayyib. So the third condition, al-aql. And it is ziddu al-junoon. The one who is insane or the one who is crazy. Now there's evidence for this. There's a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. The pen has been lifted from three. عَنِ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْفِضَ وَعَنِ الصَّغِيرِ حَتَّى يَكْبُرَ وَعَنِ الْمَجْنُونِ حَتَّى يَعْقِلَ أَوْ يُفِيقَ. Now this hadith has been narrated by Al-Imam Ahmad, and it's also found in Sunan Abi Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, yani the Kutub Al-Arba, and also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullah jami'an, and authenticated by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. So it's authentic narration, Rufi Al-Qalam wa An-Thalath. For the students, or those who are striving to study and learn the knowledge, this is an important narration. The pen has been lifted from three. عَنِ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْخِضَ. From the one who is sleeping until he wakes up. وَنِ الصَّغِيرِ حَتَّى يَكْبُرَ. It's come in different wordings likewise. And الصَّبِي حَتَّى يَحْتَلِم. It's also come like this. نعم, but the meaning is one. Even though the wordings of different narrations are different, the meaning is one. From a child until he reaches the age of puberty. نعم, the pin is lifted from three types of people. The first one is the one who is sleeping. The pin is lifted from him until he wakes up. The second one is the one who is a child below the age of puberty until he reaches the age of puberty. The third one is the one who is insane, crazy, lost his mind. Naam, until his mind comes back to sanity, or he wakes up from his state of insanity. Rufi'a al-qalamu an thalath. The pen has been lifted from three. What does that mean? Naam. Aywa, he mentioned the angels are not taking down the deeds. Aywa. Naam. That could be understood from the text. Naam, ahsanta. But what is the pin? The ulama, they mentioned the pin, the meaning of the pin here is not the pin of the scribes, of the angels, but rather this is the pin of qalamu at-taklif. Qalamu at-taklif. That this is the pin of accountability. The pin of accountability. Meaning that what happens to these individuals at this time or in this state, they're not held accountable for that. نعم رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. And the pin, أَيُّ قَلَمْ قَلَمُ التَّكْلِيفِ. The pin of accountability. Meaning that their deeds are recorded, but as for accountability, they're not held accountable for what occurs, what they say and what they do. Who are they? Three. Was the first one? The one who is sleeping until he wakes up. نعم, the one who is sleeping in a state of sleep. Until he wakes up. If he says something in his sleep, he's not held accountable. If he does something in his sleep, he's sleeping entirely. He's not held accountable. He breaks something. He's not held accountable as with regards to sin. If he broke something though, then he will have to pay for it in his sleep. But the case is the accountability of he's not sinning. He's not held accountable with Allah Azza wa Jal for committing a sin or transgression. Or if he even made a statement, na'udhu billah, a statement of kufr, he's sleeping. He's not held accountable. He made a statement of marriage or whatever the case may be. All of this is not held accountable. He's not held accountable for it, and nothing can be ascribed to him with regards to this. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rufi'a al-qalamu an thalathin, an al-na'imi hatta yastayqiwa." Naam, and from the one who's sleeping until he wakes up. The second one, which is also a proof for the previous condition. عن الصغير حتى يكبر. And one narration, عن الصبي حتى يحترم. And from a child, a young child, until he reaches the age of puberty. So he's not held accountable. He's not held accountable for what they do. But it's important, there's an important note to note here. And for the awliya al-umur to understand, those who have authority over others, whether he's a father, or the likes, or an uncle, those who have children in their care, that although the child is not held accountable for leaving off the obligation or falling into the haram or committing an act that is prohibited, the ulama, they say that he should the awlad, they should never be given a tamkeen or the ability إلى الحرام لا يمكن من الحرام. He's not allowed to do the haram, even if he's a child. He's not held accountable. For example, even in the clothing and the likewise and the like. So, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, barakallahu fikum jami'an, about ma taht al ka'baini fa fi an-nar. Yani min al-izar, from the lower garment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that what is from the lower garment that's in the fire. I mean, if the lower garment's in the fire, that means the feet are in the fire. If the feet are in the fire, then the body's in the fire. And if this is the case, and if the person is punished in the fire for this action. So the ulama, they mention, although the child, for example, maybe he's 7, maybe he's 5, or even younger than that, he is not of the age of accountability, but still we should not allow him to be comfortable in this manner, which is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that he should be raised in this manner. Rather, from the very beginning, it should be known that this is haram and this is not permissible. And we should not allow them and give them the ability to wear this type of clothing. Rather, their clothing should be according to the legislation, although they're not held accountable. But the one who is in charge of his affair is held accountable. And he's held accountable to raise him and to nurture him and to give him the proper upbringing. And this starts from the very beginning. So he wouldn't say, oh no, he's okay. Or for example, the girl, likewise. Some of them, they would dress the girl and she's a baby or she's young, but they allow them to uncover any parts of their body that is not permissible. And then, any akramakum Allah jami'an, and they say, well, she's a baby girl, she's not of the age. Yes, but still, they should be dressed modestly. We don't say that she has to have hijab, she has to have khimar, la, but she has to be dressed modestly, so that the child is raised in this manner of modesty, and she knows that, you know, uncovering her legs, for example, أَجَلَّكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا, that this is something that she should be shy from doing from the very beginning. And he رُفِعَ الْقَالِمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ عَنِ الصَّبِيِّ نَعْمْ حَتَّى يَحْتَرِمُ وَعَنِ الصَّغِيرِ حَتَّى يَكْبُرُ. But this doesn't mean that we're just going to let them do the haram or decorate them and take them out and they're wearing haram and the like. لا. Even though they're not held accountable, we are held accountable. And it's incumbent upon us to raise them in the best manner, whether they are their own children or they're under our care. Or they're under our care and they're not our own children, it's incumbent upon us. Naam, that this is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that we will be held accountable for. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. But here the point is, barakallahu fikum, that fasting is not obligatory unless there is an aql, which is the next proof that he meant, the next or the third one the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned, عن المجنون حتى يعقل أو يفيق. عن المجنون حتى يعقل أو يفيق. Naam, until from the insane person until he understands, he gains his sanity back, or he wakes up. So we see that the ulama, they mentioned that this person who is considered majnoon, or he is crazy, insane, is two types of people. One of them is mutbaq. Al-majnoon al-mutbaq. He's completely, he never comes back. He's always like that. He's not held accountable. As for the one that sometimes they're tried with this type of disease, where they will lose their mind, literally, and then it will come back to them later. And they will be able to understand, and they will speak normally, and they will comprehend properly. This one, at that time, he's held accountable, and whenever his mind goes away, he's not held accountable. He's not held accountable. So if it's time for fasting, in Ramadan, for example, and it's in this particular individual, afaqa wa'aqala, then he has to fast. If he lost his mind again, then he would not be held accountable for fasting. He would not be held accountable for fasting. So the third condition, or the third wasf, الوصف الثالث من أوصاف من يجب عليه الصيام, العقل. نعم, and the fourth one, القدرة ضد العجز. القدرة يعني الاستطاعة, ability. A person, he has to have the ability to fast physically. He has to have the ability to fast. The opposite of ability or capability is inability. He does not have the ability. He's at a state of weakness where he's not capable, unable. This is the opposite of this. But with regards to this, there's a general principle. The ulama, they mentioned, وَالْقَاعِدَ لَا وَاجِبَ مَعَ الْعَجِزِ. There's no obligation with inability. There are many evidences for this. Alhamdulillah. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Now Allah Azza wa Jal, He does not bear a burden on a soul more than it can bear. He mentioned this in His book in more than one place. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, so, and likewise Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, اتقوا الله ما استطعتم. Fear Allah as much as you can. And obey Allah's commandments as much as you can. Fear Allah as much as you can. And likewise, we see that the ulama, they have mentioned this is from the qa'id min al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. That the ulama, they mentioned the fiqh principles. And Al-Imam As-Sayyidi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this, and he says, وَلَيْسَ وَاجِبٌ بِالْاقْتِدَارِ وَلَا مُحَرَّمٌ مَعَ الطِّرَارِ. That there is no obligation whenever there is no ability. This is something that is established in the religion of Al-Islam. And this is from the ease of the deen. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And Allah has not made any hardship in the deen. يُرِيدُ بكم يسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah, He wants ease for you. He does not want harm for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no need of us to punish ourselves with worship. تعذيب النفس في العبادة. لا. عبادة is easy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's difficulty in it, but the deen is easy. There's definitely difficulty, for example, getting up at Fajr when it's cold and the lights like this, but this is something that one can bear in burden. It's not a difficulty that is not, one is not able to bear. Naam, and then the one who does it sincerely and strives in that way, Allah turns that burden into a delight for him. But the issue here is that whenever an individual, he does not have the ability to perform an obligation, then the obligation falls off. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about this. Likewise, it's come in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. That if I commanded you to do something, or if I command you to do something, then do it as much as you can. If I command you to do something, and to perform a commandment, then do it as much as you can. Likewise, it has been narrated from the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu, that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him. He said, صَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَاعِدًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that you should pray, or that you must pray standing. You must pray standing. But if you are not able, then pray sitting. And if you are not able, then pray on your side. then pray on your side. So we see that having the ability to perform the action is a condition of the obligation. But here, with regards to salat, for example, it's not left off. If you can't pray standing, you pray sitting. If one can't pray sitting, then he prays on his side. But in any case, he does not leave the salat. Naam, he does not leave the salat. We will see with regards to the one who is not able to fast. There's two types of ajiz. Yani the one who is not able to fast, the ulama, they mentioned that yani, al-ajiz is two types. Ajizun aridun, yurja'u zawalu, wa ajizun da'im mustamir, la yurja zawalu. Naam, there's a type of inability or incapability that is only temporary, and it is hoped that it will go away. Somebody is not capable for a reason, and generally that reason will be removed normally by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam, another type of incapability is one that is mentioned that will not change, will never go away. We see the first one, for example, somebody who has a minor sickness. Or maybe even if it's a major sickness, but the doctors who are trustworthy, they have said that inshallah you'll be cured. Just give it time. And this type of disease normally it cures after such and such time. Then this person, then his ajiz, or his incapability, or inability, it is hoped that it will go away. We understand that? So this one, he does not have the ability, but it's hoped for him that the ability will come back. So there's a ruling for him. طيب. The second type of ajiz is the one that's da'im and mustamir. Da'imun mustamir, the one that is continuous. And it's not hope that he would ever, this inability will ever go away. For example, somebody who's reached the old age. Somebody who's reached the old age and become weak. And it's not hope that he's going to become young again. And after a person reaches an older age, it's not hope for him that he's going to become strong again. With old age comes weakness. And this is the case in the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the person who reached this stage, then his excuse or incapability is not hope to go away. Likewise, somebody who has a terminal disease or a sickness that is not the doctors that are experienced and trustworthy, they mentioned that this type of disease, it doesn't go away. Now, it's not hope for him that he would be cured from this particular disease, then he has an ajiz that will not go away. So there's a ruling for him. Naam. As for the one who has the type of inability that is hope they will go away, then this one is not obligatory for him to fast. For example, somebody who has a sickness. Somebody who has a sickness, whether it's light or severe, then he is able to break his fast. And it's not obligatory for him to fast. A sickness that is hoped that it would be cured. And normally, and generally, the doctors know that this type of sickness, it will be cured after some time. So this person, it is permissible for him to break his fast. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in his book. So whoever of you are fasting, but whenever the fast is there, so whoever from you is sick or he is traveling, then he can make up the days from later days. He can break his fast and make up later days. So he does not have to fast in the month of Ramadan if he is sick. Naam, if he is sick like this. طيب, but he has to make it up. لا يلزمه الصيام أداء ويلزمه قضاء ويلزمه قضاء. It's not obligatory for him to fast, and he performing the fast in the proper time. It's allowed for him to break his fast because of his ajiz and his inability. عدم استطاعة. But he must make it up later, whenever he is cured or whenever this ajiz goes away. As for the one that is continually sick, where he has an inability that will not go away, then this person, it is not obligatory for him to fast. Not any to perform the fast in the proper time, and not to make it up either. He's not required to perform the fast at all. Not to perform it in the time required in the month of Ramadan, and not to make it up later. Likewise, this is not obligatory upon him. Naam. يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ. This is from the mahasin, hadha deen, from the beauty and from the beautiful qualities and traits of this religion, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put the burden on any soul that it cannot bear. And that there are ways out for every individual from every hardship, especially those who fear Allah. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, then He will find a way out for him. He will make a way out for him from every difficulty. Now, so this type of individual here, he's not obligatory. It's not obligatory for him to fast, not in the month of Ramadan and not making it up. But rather, he must feed a poor person for every day that he fasted. He must feed a poor person for every day that he fasted. Now, this has come from the narrations of Abdullah bin Abbas, likewise from the radiallahu anhuma, that he mentioned about the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَالَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فَفِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. He mentioned that this is not an abrogated verse, but rather this is with regards to الشيخ الكبير والمرأة الكبيرة لا يستطيعان أن يسوما فيطعمان مكان كل يوم مكان كل يوم مسكينا. That the one who is an elder man or female who is not able to fast, he's not able to fast, نعم, then they will feed for every day a poor person. Likewise, it was mentioned in the narrations of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه Sahih Bukhari, that whenever he became old and he was not able to fast, then this is what he did, and he fed 30 people for each day that he missed, radiallahu anhu. Whenever we begin reading, inshaAllah, from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of these issues will come in detail, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Now we're still in a bit of a muqaddimah fi ahkam al-siyam. Naam? Tayyib. So the author, we see that that's the fourth wasf or shart, the wujub al-siyam. Naam, the fourth condition or description for the obligation of fasting. The fifth one, al-iqamatu. Al-iqama. Naam, ضد السفر. The opposite of traveling. Naam, the one who is a resident in his home, and he meets the other the qualities, then this is an indication that it's obligatory for him to fast. Naam, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. Naam, that this is the case, that whoever from you is sick or on a travel, then he can make up the days from other days than Ramadan. Naam, and there's the issue of which one is better for the one to fast while traveling or to leave off fasting while traveling. Inshallah, the details will come with regards to that. But the reality in general is that it's up to the individual. If it's easy for him to fast while traveling without any extra hardship prohibiting him from performing his other obligations, then it's preferred for him to fast. And if it is difficult for him and causing him to fall short in his other obligations while traveling, then it's preferred for him to not fast. This is in the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, the details will come in the classes to come, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The sixth wasf, لمن الأوصاف الستة التي يجب بها على المرء الصيام الخلو من الموانع. الخلو من الموانع, that the individual is free from any prohibitors, free from any prohibitors. And this is the ulama, they mentioned with regards to the woman who is on her menses or is on the postnatal bleeding, الحيض والنفاس. الحيض والنفاس. Because maybe there may be a woman who is a Muslim, and she is sane and reached the age of puberty, and she's a resident likewise. But and she's able, and he physically able, but there's something prohibiting her from the obligation of fasting, and that would be these two issues here: the menses or the postnatal bleeding, al haydu wa nifas. الحيض والنفاس. نعم. As I mentioned, inshallah, the details or some of the details will come with regards to this. Going back a moment, with regards to the children again, the youth, the sabi, الجارية, the young woman, the small girl, or the small boy that is not of the age. From the sunnah of the Sahaba, yani from the sunnah of the Prophet and the Sahaba, that they would encourage the children to fast. And as we've seen in the beginning of these classes, that there are conditions for the correctness of the worship. And that is that he's a Muslim and he has intelligence, and likewise at the age of tamyiz. So the salaf, they used to, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to encourage the children to fast. They used to encourage the children to fast. And they would give them toys to play with and the likes like this, although it's not obligatory upon them. And this is something that is very important. And the ulama, they mentioned like approximately around the age of 7 and up, and whenever they're able to bear the fast, na'am, that you encourage them. That the parents or the guardian will encourage them to fast. And maybe if it's hard for them to fast the whole day, for example, some children are able to do that from the beginning, very young, and he's able to bear it. Alhamdulillah, you just occupy him a little bit and he'll forget. Others, it's very difficult for them. So then the ulama mentioned, for example, have him fast from the morning until dhuhr, or some portion of the day until that the child is being raised and cultivated on this idea of fasting and leaving off the food and the drink and likes like this. Or also even from the opposite end, okay, fast from asr to maghrib, or if it's difficult, but just, you know, try to help them to become accustomed to fasting. That way, whenever they come, they come to the age of puberty, it will be easy for them. It will be easy for them. It has been narrated in Sahih Bukhari that he mentioned about Umar radiallahu anhu, that there was a man who was brought to him and he was drunk in the day of Ramadan. He was drunk, called Umar li Nashwan, and he's Sakran. And if you're Ramadan, he said, وَيْلَكَ وَسِبْيَانُنَا سِيَامٌ وَيْلَكَ وَسِبْيَانُنَا سِيَامٌ. He's like, and this man, you come to in Ramadan and you have been drinking alcohol and our little children are fasting. Yani, don't you have any shame? وَيْلَكَ. So but Bukhari, he mentioned this, yani, and he mentioned this with the title of the chapter, Babu Sawm As-Sibyan. Babu Sawm As-Sibyan. Babu Sawm As-Sibyan. The chapter of the children that are under the age of puberty fasting. And meaning, then, is it obligatory, or what is it permissible? Is it legislated for them to fast? Naam, it's legislated. It's legislated for them to fast. And if they do, they'll be rewarded. And likewise, the parent or the guardian will be rewarded for cultivating them upon this great pillar and the love of this great pillar. And likewise, we have to remember that whenever we cultivate our children, and first ourselves, upon ikhlas, upon sincerity, upon the pleasure of Allah, and upon hoping for the reward, and not just telling them, leave the food, leave the drink like this, to have to remind them to do it for the sake of Allah. Even I heard the ulama, they mentioned, for example, we should not say to them, if you fast, for example, today, I'll buy you a gift. If you fast today, I'll take you out for ice cream, or like this. Because now we're tying the worship to the reward of the father, of the parent. And this is not correct. Rather, this is an act of worship. This is ibadah. يَجِبْ وَتَكُونَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى خَالِصًا. It has to be for Allah sincerity. صَافِيَ لَهُ نَقِيَّ. The deed must be pure for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must be raised upon this. So what would we do? Encouraging them with a gift is okay, but we would say to them like this, if you fast today, then inshallah, maybe Allah will guide me to buy you a gift. Maybe Allah will guide my heart to buy you a gift. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned in His book, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And is the reward for good anything other than good? Meaning the reward for good is nothing but good. The reward for good is nothing but good. So if you do this good, then inshallah, Allah will guide me to do good for you. Like this. But in any case, the heart of the child is being directed to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the worship is being done for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, the parent is doing this. And the parent's heart doesn't want the child to fast for him. La, fast for Allah. Pray for Allah. Like this. So this is an important point I need to mention. And likewise, in the same chapter, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, a narration to Rubayy' bint Mu'awwidh, radiyallahu anha. She said, أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غداة عاشوراء إلى قرى الأنصار من أسبح مفطرا فليتم بقية يومه ومن أسبح صائما فليصوم. And she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to the villages of the Ansar on the day of Ashura. We've seen that this was the first obligation of fasting. The obligation of fasting came first on the day of Ashura only. In this particular narration, we see that she is mentioning this, Rubayy, radiyallahu anha. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that whoever woke up without fasting, he should fast the rest of his day, and whoever woke up fasting, then let him fast the rest of the day. Naam. So she said, فَكُنَّا نُسَوِّمُ فَكُنَّا نَسُومُهُ بَعْدُ وَنُسَوِّمُ سِبْيَانَنَا وَنُسَوِّمُ سِبْيَانَنَا. We used to fast the day of Ashura after that, and we would make our children fast. We would make our children fast. The Sibyan is the one who is under the age of puberty. The Sibyan, and Sabi. Naam, the Jamu Sabi. So he said, وَنُسَوِّمُ سِبْيَانَنَا. We will make our young children fast. So this is understood in the light, without punishing them, without harming them. If they can't do it, we don't force them, but we encourage them. This is an encouragement for them. Naam, it's an encouragement for them. We help them to do it. Naam, and she said, رَضِيَ anha, وَنَجْعَلُ لَهُمْ أَلُعْبَةَ مِنَ الْإِهْلِ فَإِذَا بَكَى أَحَدُهُمْ عَلَى الطَّعَامِ أَعْطَيْنَاهُ ذَاكَ حَتَّى يَكُونَ عِنْدَ الْإِفْطَارِ. He said that we would preoccupy them, give them a toy to play with, a toy from suf, عين, suf, like from cotton, a type of toy that would give him something that would preoccupy them, like this. So this is the encouragement. If they want to have the food, we occupy them with something else, direct them to something else, busy them with something else, like this, and keep trying to do this until it's time for iftar. And if it's very difficult for them, then let them break the fast. It's not obligatory upon them. We don't want to punish them with it, causing them to dislike the fasting. Naam. And the ulama, they mentioned some of the proof for this. They mentioned qiyas with regards to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went likewise with regards to the children and salat. مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة عند السبع. That you should command your children to fast at the age of seven. Excuse me, to pray at the age of seven. وضربوهم عليها عند العشر. And that you should punish them with regards to the fast at the age of ten. Now, so this is the case similar. They mentioned any like this, that we should likewise do the same issue with fasting, encouraging to fast even at a young age, even though it's not obligatory upon them, but to raise them and to cultivate them upon the love of this great act of worship and the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we see that if a person has all of these conditions, now it's obligatory for him to fast. So the one that it's obligatory for him to fast is the one who is a Muslim. Naam, we can review. The one who is a Muslim and? Aqil, he has intelligence. Baligh, the one's obligatory. Baligh, naam, baligh, meaning that he reached the age of puberty. Naam, and then qadir, he has the ability. Naam, muqim, he's a resident. And has nothing that would prohibit him from fasting or her from fasting. Naam, what are the things that would prohibit somebody from fasting? Even if all of these attributes, all of these descriptions, all of these conditions are gathered in one individual, what are the things that could prohibit them from fasting still? The menses or the postnatal bleeding. Now maybe they may reach all of these conditions, but they are on their menses. At this time, if they fast, that's a sin. That's a sin. It's not permissible for a woman to fast. This is disobedience. They have been commanded to leave off fasting at this time. This is the command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Him, is in accordance to His commandments and prohibitions. So one person may be commanded to fast, the other one is commanded to not fast. The one who complies with the commandment is the one who is getting the reward. The one who complies with the commandment is the one that is beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we shouldn't think, the sisters for example, think that they're going to miss out on the virtue of Ramadan. Rather, this is on these days for them, that's the act of worship for them. This is the act of worship, yani the act of obedience. This is the act of compliance to Allah Azza wa Jal for them on these days is to not fast. Is to not fast. Naam, this is the case. Tayyib. I seen their brother had a question. Da'im. Da'im is continuing, always. Continuous. Before it. Ajizun. Ajizun da'imun mustamir. And a continuous inability. وإياكم. نعم. أوكي. For the one who has to feed. The brother, he asked, Hafidhullah wa yakum, can we feed a random Muslim? La, you have to feed a person that is miskeen. You have to feed a person that is miskeen. This is what has come. Naam? That we have to feed a person that is considered poor. A person that is considered poor is not necessarily a person that is destitute or a person that is homeless and living on the street. Definitely he would fit the category. But also likewise, the one who is not, who is struggling to pay the bills, the one who is living from check to check, the one who is barely getting by, this one would also, we could feed this type of person. This person is considered, yani, to be miskeen. He's struggling to get by. He's barely meeting his needs, and sometimes he's late on this, or sometimes, you know, he pays his bill. Maybe he has a car even, but it's hard for him to get by. He's living week to week or month to month, check to check. He's not stacking money. He's not saving money. He's not saving money in his bank account and the likes like this. Rather, he's just getting by. This person will be permissible to feed him. This type of individual. But to give to somebody who, for example, pays zakat, somebody who has money in the bank that he is relying upon, that he pays his bill, and he pays his bills, and he has money besides that. After the bills are paid, he still has money left over. This person, you can't. It would not be sufficient, and it would not be correct to feed him as an expiation. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. The brother asked a question about feeding. The one who has to feed, the one who has the ajiz, well, ajizun da'imun, the one who is not able, continuously not able, then he will feed. Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this. And how does one feed? What does one feed? And somebody, for example, who was an elder, and he's not able to fast, and he has to feed one person for every day. So how does he feed? What does he feed? How much does he give? Naam? This is the question. Shaykh ibn Baz, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, nisfu sa' nisfu sa'in an kulli yawmin li miskin. Naam? Nisfu sa' nisfu sa' half of a sa' for every day. The ulama, they mentioned that a sa' is arba'atu amdad. And mud is like this. Yadani mu'tadilan. Two like this. Handfuls like this. One. This is one handful. Four of these, or one of these is called a mud, from the normal person's hand, man. And four of these makes a sa'. But the ulama, some of the ulama, they have mentioned that, and they have weighed it in kilo. And so, if somebody wanted to pay, for example, you could do a nisfa sa' would be two of these. Two handfuls like this. If one wanted to do it like this. Or he mentioned Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, we continue reading. He said, his fatwa, rahimahullah ta'ala, nisfu sa'in an kulli yawm li miskin min tamrin aw aruzzin aw al-hinta nam aw ghayriha min qut al-balad. He mentioned from dates, you could pay dates, a half of a sa' of dates, naam, or from like wheat or barley, or likewise from rice, or other than that could be also the ulama they mentioned, anyone falling under the other than that, al ghayriha, macaroni, any noodles, and the likes like this. All of this is permissible, insha'Allah. Naam, and he says, wa dhalika bi miqdari kilo wa nisf. Kilo and nisf. For the one who doesn't know how to do this with the hands or the likes like this, Shaykh ibn Baz, he mentioned it's a kilo and a half. 1 kilo and a half, you could weigh it up, of tamar. And feed for one person a day, like this, give it to him, to the poor person. Or 1 kilo and a half of rice, or noodle, or barley, or adis, like this. 1 kilo and a half, he would give it for every day. He says, وَلَا تُجْزِئُ النُّقُودِ وَلَا تُجْزِئُ النُّقُود, and money will not substitute, and not, money will not be sufficient. And if meaning وَلَا تُجْزِي الْجِزَاء, meaning it would not remove the obligation. If he paid, say for example, he says, how much is half a sa' of tamar? Oh, that's how much it is, khalas, give him the money. for 30 days. This Shaykh Ibn Baz, he said, this is not sufficient and this will not count. This will not be accepted. Rather, what is required is to feed the person. He says, بَلْ أَلْوَاجِبُ إِخْرَاجُ الطَّعَامُ قَبْلَ السِّيَامِ أَوْ بَعْدَ السِّيَامِ. Now he said, what is obligatory is to give the food before the fast or after the fast. So one could give, for example, if he knows that he's sick and he's not going to be cured, or if he's old and he's not able to fast, in the beginning of Ramadan, when Ramadan starts, he could give 30 days to 30 people like this. Or he could give one every day. Or he could wait until halfway and give 30 halfway at any time. All of them at once, one or two or three at a time, whatever is easy for the individual. Wait to the end, do it all at once like this, giving it to 30 different individuals and the likes like this. This is all permissible. This is all permissible. He says, وَيَكْفِي أَن يُدْفَعْ ذَلِكَ إِلَى مِسْكِينٍ وَاحِدٍ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ سَوَاءٌ كَانَ ذَلِكَ قَبْلَ السِّيَامِ أَوْ بَعْدَ السِّيَامِ. He said, and it's sufficient to give that to one poor person or to many different poor people. Now you can to give it all to one poor person or to many different poor people. This is the case. So the person who has to feed, or he has a loved one or a family member that has to feed, how will he feed for that person? According to the fatwa of Shaykh Ibn Baz here. Nisa sa' what is equal to? Kilo and a half of? Barley, wheat, tamar, naam, even raisins. He said, qut al-balad, the type of food that is a qut, meaning you can store it and it can be sufficed with. It's a means of nourishment. Naam. And then when does he have to do it? Naam, during like this, naam.
One person to many.
Naam. To many. Naam, one or to many. طيب, what about if he cooked the food? He didn't mention that, right? What about if you cook the food and for example, you cooked one big meal and invite 30 people to come? Or invite one big meal, invite 10 people to come, and then another big meal, 10 more people to come, and then maybe 5 more people to come. La bas. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khairah. Anybody agree with him, disagree with him? We have to remember, barakallahu fikum jami'an, that some of these issues, the ulama have a difference of opinion about. So, but some of this is permissible. Naam.
I heard one of the scholars say, he would rather give it to dry food so he can own it. Aywa. He may give it to his family.
Aywa.
He may give it to someone who is more, you know, from his family.
Ahsan. This is what Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned, that it's better to do it like this. It's better to give him the food. That way he can feed his family with it whenever he likes. He can benefit from it. He can sell it if he likes to. To give him the food to own. But many of the ulama, they mentioned that it is permissible to feed the person to make the food for them. And this is what Anas ibn Malik, he did, radiallahu anhu, has mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, that he, whenever he was older, he cooked a dinner for 30 people and invited them all and they came and ate. And this was sufficient. And Allah knows best. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.